Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the debut episode of the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Michael Lindbaum, and this week we are brought to you by DerpyCon. DerpyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit DerpyCon.com. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you again to the Experience Hockey Talk. Serious hockey talk for the serious hockey fan. This is the debut episode. Pretty much what you can expect from this podcast is that I am going to cover the league. I'm going to mostly do a lot more game coverage of the Washington Capitals because they're my local team. And I will do news and notes around the league, stuff like that. But this week, for this episode, with the season starting on October 7th, today obviously is for Saturday, October 3rd, I'm going to be doing the NHL preview and breakdown of what I think will happen this season so far for the teams. So let's just kickstart right now and go right into the Atlantic Division, where I have already, like I said, I've already broken down my things. I spent hours upon hours this week writing out my breakdowns. So we're going to start with the Atlantic Division. I'm going to do them in the order that I think they're going to come in, and I'm going to explain why. So, coming in first in the Atlantic Division this season will be the defending Eastern Conference champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Their key additions this season were right winger Eric Condra. Their key departures were left winger Brendan Morrow and defenseman Mark Barberio. Their keys to success this season, in my opinion, is that the Lightning need to stay injury-free this season. But they also need to keep their focus on the game. Steven Stamkos and his pending free agency is a concern, but one that the team should not allow to distract them. You know, because here's the thing. Yes, Steven Stamkos is their biggest guy. And if they let his pending free agency be a distraction, they could slip a bit because they're not focusing on the game. Focus on the game, not on the off-ice stuff. Tampa Bay will be definitely the top team in the division, if not the conference, again this season. Coming in at second in the Atlantic Division will be the Montreal Canadiens, who were actually first place in the Atlantic Division last season. Their key additions this season were right winger Zach Cassian, and I don't know how much of a key addition this was, but right winger Alexander Semin. Their key departures were left winger Brandon Prust, right winger Pierre Parento, and defenseman Sergei Gonchar. The keys to success for the Montreal Canadiens is an improved power play, which is something the Canadiens need to have. Last season, they ranked 23rd, and for a team that has a talented squad, that's not good enough. And we know that the Montreal fans, who are a rabid, rabid fan base, demand more too. Also, what impact will Alexander Semin have on the Canadiens? You know, because here's the thing. He was with the Caps, as everyone knows, for all those years, and he really underachieved. Talented guy, great underachiever. Will not achieve what he should be getting. You know, so will the Canadiens get that 40 goal scorer that has a lot of talent, or will they get the talented player who just is going to dog it? And being how he's on a 1-year contract, he's probably going to prove that he's worth it, but then once he gets that big contract, as we saw by Carolina buying him out, ain't worth it. Coming in third in the Atlantic Division will be the Detroit Red Wings, in my opinion. They were third in the Atlantic last season. Their key additions this season are Brad Richards and defenseman Mike Green. Key departure is actually the head coach of Mike Babcock. Keys to success for them, in my opinion, is team unity and good health are all keys to the Detroit Red Wings because they are still a relatively older team in the league. And if they do that, they keep with the good health and the team unity, they will make the playoffs for a 25th straight season. Also, what impact will new head coach Jeff Blashill have on the Red Wings this season as well? Yes, he's been coaching a lot of the younger guys back in the minors, but what impact will he have on a guy like a Pavel Datsyuk, a Henrik Zetterberg, you know, Johan Franzen? You know, what impact will he have on those guys? Those are the key things that you got to keep an eye out for. Because, yeah, he's new, but sometimes veterans don't respond well. But knowing how they have a good core up in Detroit, I expect them to do well. Coming fourth in the Atlantic Division will be the Ottawa Senators. They were fourth in the Atlantic Division last season. They have no key additions, and their departures were goalie Robin Lehner, center David Legwand, and defenseman Eric Greiba. Their keys to success this season, if they are to even get a wild card spot, is that they're going to need solid goaltending from both Craig Anderson and Andrew Hammond. And they have what is considered one of the weaker defenses in the league, so strong goaltending from Hammond and Anderson are going to be a must. It really is. Also, how will the setback to the Chris Phillips recovery affect the team on defense as well? Chris Phillips being one of their top defensemen along with Erik Karlsson, but Phillips being more defensive, how does that affect the team? So you got to look at what long-term effects that Chris Phillips may have on the Ottawa Senators if he cannot play. Number 5 in the Atlantic Division, I foresee the Florida Panthers coming in at 6, or who were 6 in the Atlantic Division last season. Their key additions were Riley Smith, and their departures were Brad Boyes and Jimmy Hayes. Their keys to success will be continued patience with this young Panthers team, which is a main key. A lot of their younger players are starting to progress very nicely and can push the Panthers into the playoffs. Key question is, how much does Jaromir Jagr still have left in the tank? He's 43 years old, and he can't skate. He can't do the skating game. And with how this game has gotten younger and faster, skating is the key thing. Everyone can skate. Jagr can't. He's got hands, but no legs. And that's a key question for the Florida Panthers. What does he have left in the tank? And is he worth a potential, you know, downsize? Because if he can't go, he holds you down. Coming in 6th in the Atlantic Division, I see the Toronto Maple Leafs, who were actually 7th in the Atlantic Division last season. Key additions for them were coach Mike Babcock, general manager Lou Lamoriello, right winger P.A. Parento, left winger Daniel Winnick, center Sean Mathias, center Nick Spaulding, and defenseman Matt Hunwick. Their key departures were right winger Phil Kessel and left winger David Booth. Key to success for Toronto is while rebuilding over the summer by bringing in a new head coach in Mike Babcock and general manager in Lou Lamoriello, the Toronto Maple Leafs made it known that they want to be taken seriously now. Not in a few years, but now. This season may be a lost cause for the Maple Leafs, but I also expect a few surprises with this new attitude and culture to the Maple Leafs, which is something that they have been needing for a very long time. And the fact that they traded away Phil Kessel to Pittsburgh is a sign that Mike Babcock is not going to take anyone's crap. He's not. And I think Mike Babcock is the right coach for Toronto because he will whip a lot of guys into shape. And there's even still right now, even though I wrote this stuff up throughout the week, and there are all these rumors going around about who could be traded, PTOs, you know, I didn't cover that stuff, but I can actually bring those up to you when news and notes coming in next week's episode. Number 7 in the Atlantic Division, and I'm going to take some slack for this one from people up in Boston, but I'm picking the Boston Bruins to go 7th in the division. You know, your key additions were Matt Beleski, but your key departures was your top defenseman, Dougie Hamilton, left winger Milan Lucic, center Carl Soderberg, center Gregory Campbell, right winger Riley Smith, and defenseman Matt Bartkowski. You know, you gained one guy, and you lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 key guys. And then, not along with that, but how healthy are Dennis Seidenberg and Zdeno Chara for you guys? That's another big question for the Boston fans. How healthy are those two guys? Because those could be two quote-unquote key departures if they can't go all season. And of course, key success for the Boston Bruins is, this will be an off year for Boston. It's going to be. Sorry, it just is. They're a great team, Frank Kranfries, but they're going to have an off year this year. For a team that demands a presence in the playoffs, they sure did take a step backwards, as I just mentioned, with their key additions and key departures, with their off-season moves. Plus, another major question that I also brought up is that must be asked is how healthy are Dennis Seidenberg and Zdeno Chara going to be for the Bruins this season? Seidenberg's hurt already. Chara got hurt in the preseason, but they're saying it may not be that serious. But you still got that question in the back of your mind. What if Chara gets hurt again like he was last season? What if Seidenberg can't go this season? Those are questions that Boston Bruins fans need to ask themselves and go, hopefully our management can make some changes. And of course, coming in eighth in the Atlantic Division are the Buffalo Sabres, who were also dead last in the NHL last season. Key additions for them were Ryan O'Reilly, center Jack Eichel, who was the second overall pick in the 2015 draft, center David Legwon, right winger Jamie McGinn, and goalie Robin Lehner. Their key departures were Cody Hodgson, Mikhail Grigorenko, and goalie Anders Lindbach. Key success for the Buffalo Sabres is this. They're rebuilding. They have made it known they are rebuilding. This will be another rebuilding year for the Buffalo Sabres. Jack Eichel, like I said, who was the second overall pick of the 2015 draft, will be a major boost to the Sabres roster and their offense and a key piece to their future, but is not going to be the answer for this season, but he's going to be the long-term answer for this team, and especially since they're going to be building around him. So, that was my Atlantic Division. Again, I have in first Tampa Bay, second Montreal, third Detroit, fourth Ottawa, fifth Florida, sixth Toronto, seventh Boston, and eighth the Buffalo Sabres. And with that, now we're going to move over to the West. We're going to take care of the Pacific Division. Coming in at number one for the Pacific Division, I foresee the Anaheim Ducks taking it again for the second year in a row, as they were first in the Pacific last season. Their key additions were left winger Carl Hagelin, right winger Chris Stewart, center Sean Horkoff, defenseman Kevin Bieska, and goalie Anton Khudobin. Their key departures were Matt Beleski, defenseman Francois Beauchemin, right winger Kyle Palmieri, and defenseman James Wisniewski. Key success for the Anaheim Ducks are potentially the most equipped team after the moves they made this past offseason. They are. All the moves that they made have made them a much more better and a much more dangerous team, which is why a lot of the big NHL and analysts are picking them to win the Cup this year. But I'm not going to be giving you guys playoff and Cup predictions now because it's way too early for that. So they made the moves this offseason, but they can't think for 1 second that they have the Stanley Cup won already, like the pundits are already saying. They can't think that. They will need to keep their focus and play the game to guarantee that. Coming in second in the Pacific Division, in my opinion, will be the Los Angeles Kings. Fourth in the Pacific Division last season, but their key additions this year were left winger Milan Lucic and goalie Jonas Enroth. Key departures was right winger Justin Williams, center Mike Richards, who had his contract terminated, defenseman Slava Voynov, who is in the process of having his contract terminated, and defenseman Andre Sequeira. Keys to success for the Los Angeles Kings is with the departures of distractions Mike Richards, Jarrett Stahl, and Slava Voynov, the Los Angeles Kings can now refocus themselves on this upcoming season. On paper, the Kings have a team that can win their third cup in 5 years, but only they will defeat themselves if they don't move on from the distractions and focus on the game. This is a team that can do great things, and I expect them to do great things again this season, but they need to move on from those distractions. You know, the arrest of Mike Richards, Slava Voynov, and Jarrett Stahl, all for their various reasons, did not help, especially with the fact that Voynov had his happen at the very beginning of last season, and then Stahl had his happen at the very end of last season, and then Richards had his done close around the draft. You know, those are all distractions you cannot have on a good team like this. So, they're gone. Refocus on the game. LA is going to be fine. And then, coming in third, in my opinion, will be the Calgary Flames. Third in the Pacific last season, their key additions were right winger Michael Frolik and defenseman Dougie Hamilton. Key departures was defenseman Rafael Diaz. The key success for the Calgary Flames will need to continue off the Calgary Flames need to continue off of last season's success. They have shown that their rebuilding process is paying off, and they have added two key pieces in Michael Frolik and Dougie Hamilton. One big question is, how much more are youngsters Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau going to grow this upcoming season? Because the more those two grow, the better the team is going to be. Calgary has been doing very well on the rebuilding process, and they are now getting to a phase where being in the playoffs is going to be a much more consistent thing for them. And they're doing all the right things. They have great locker room, leadership, good coaching. So Calgary Flames, I see them coming in third in the Pacific Division again this season. Coming in fourth in the Pacific Division is the San Jose Sharks. Fifth in the Pacific last season, their key additions were coach Peter DeBoer, right winger Joel Ward, goalie Martin Jones, and defenseman Paul Martin. Their key departures were goalie Antti Niemi. Key success for the San Jose Sharks is, if the San Jose Sharks want to make it back to the playoffs, they need to work better as a team all around. Big question is, how well will the longer tenured Sharks take to Peter DeBoer? And another question to ask is, what type of impact will guys like Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau have on the team? Because those are guys that probably should have left San Jose years ago, and they probably need to still go now. But only time will tell to see how they respond to Peter DeBoer, the new system, and everything else. Coming in fifth in the Pacific Division, and I am being bold on this one, is the Edmonton Oilers. Last season, they were sixth place in the Pacific Division. Their key additions was GM Peter Chiarelli, coach Todd McClellan, center Connor McDavid, who was the first overall pick in the 2015 draft, left winger Lauri Korpikoski, defenseman Andre Sekera, and goalie Tam Talbot. Their key departure was Boyd Gordon. Keys to success while making the playoffs is still a long shot for the Edmonton Oilers. However, the moves that were made this past offseason and the drafting of number one overall draft pick Connor McDavid, the Oilers are going to do a lot better this season, and a possible 2016-17 playoff push may not be laughable at all. This year, if they were to make it as a wild card, that would be the biggest surprise of the season. Coming in at number 6 in the Pacific Division, I see the Vancouver Canucks, who were second in the Pacific Division last season. Their key additions were center Brandon Sutter, left winger Brandon Prust, and defenseman Matt Barkowski. Their key departures were center Nick Bonino, defenseman Kevin Bieska, goalie Eddie Lack, and right winger Zach Cassian. Their keys to success will be a very interesting season for the Canucks. And at the same time, it could be a painful one too. With the moves made this past offseason and the potential turnover to happen next offseason, we may be witnessing what is the rebuilding of the Vancouver Canucks. Meaning, this is probably the first season of the rebuild for the Vancouver Canucks, because they have, I think I read that they had like 9 guys who are going to be unrestricted free agents at the end of this season. 9. That's a big hunk of your team. So, how many of those guys are you going to resign? How many of those guys are you going to replace? Who could you be trading at the trade deadline? With all these questions in the air, I don't see Vancouver making the playoffs this year, and I really don't see them being in the top 5 of their division. I see them being 6. And of course, coming in last in the Pacific Division is the Arizona Coyotes, who were also last in the Pacific Division last season. Their key additions, well, I don't even know if this guy's even considered an addition, since they just got him back after trading at the trade deadline, but center Antoine Vermette. They acquired right winger Steve Downey, center Boyd Gordon, defenseman Zdeněk Mikulík, who those two guys who I just named also are now coming back to the Coyotes, defenseman Nicholas Grossman, and goalie Anders Lindbach. Their key departures were Sam Gagne, Lauri Korpikoski, and defenseman John Moore. Their keys to success, and they don't have much keys to success this season, because let's be honest, unless the Coyotes can put the ugliness of their lease situation behind them and just focus on the game, they'll be okay. But at the same time, this team's lineup is not the greatest. You have the aging Shane Doan as their first line right winger, and Steve Downey as their number 2 right winger. Downey at best is a third, fourth line right winger. I see this being an ugly year in the not hockey friendly desert. It's not going to be good for the Coyotes. So again, in the Pacific Division, I have the Anaheim Ducks coming in 1, Los Angeles 2, Calgary 3, San Jose 4, Edmonton 5, Vancouver 6, and Arizona 7. And with that, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be covering the Central Division and the Metropolitan Division. Come one, come all to Southern Maryland Comic Con on Sunday, October 18th at the Hollywood Volunteer Fire Department in Hollywood, Maryland. Come see special guests like John Fastmorden, Brian Tillman, Bill McKay, and many more. And did we mention that it's only $10 to attend? That's right, only $10 to attend. So go get your tickets today at somdcon.com. That is somdcon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fan. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, and we have already taken care of covering the Atlantic and Pacific Divisions, and now we are going to start taking care of the Central and Metropolitan Divisions, starting with the Central Division. In the Central Division, I predict that number one in the division will be the Chicago Blackhawks, who last season were third in the Central Division, and are current defending Stanley Cup champions. Their key additions over the offseason were left-winger Artemi Panarin, center Artem Anisimov, right-winger Ryan Garbutt, right-winger Marco Dano, who recently, I will bring this up, was recently surprisingly sent down to the minors during training camp, and of course, defenseman Trevor Daly. Key departures were left-winger Brandon Saad, left-winger Patrick Sharp, defenseman Johnny Oduya, center Brad Richards, and goalie Antti Raanta. Key success for the Chicago Blackhawks is that despite losing some key pieces from the most recent cup run due to the salary cap, the Chicago Brass has done a good job of filling those voids with their young talent that they have groomed or have acquired. Expect the Chicago Blackhawks to go for their fourth cup in 7 years. Of course, going in second in the division, I foresee the St. Louis Blues. First in the Central Division last year, their key addition was right winger Troy Brower. Their key departures was right winger TJ Oshie and defenseman Barrett Jackman. Keys to success for the St. Louis Blues. Now, they only made one major move, being the trade of TJ Oshie for Troy Brower. One has to wonder how well the St. Louis Blues will really do. I feel that one way or the other, this is going to be Ken Hitchcock's last season with the Blues. And honestly, the sooner they get rid of Hitchcock and get a new voice behind that bench, the better the Blues will most likely be. Because how many more times are you going to try with Ken Hitchcock behind the bench? I honestly think he might have lost the bench already, or lost the locker room already. Third in the Central Division, in my opinion, will be the Winnipeg Jets, who were fifth in the Central Division last season and a very pleasant surprise to take the wild card last year. I think they'll actually take third overall in the division and actually secure an actual playoff spot, not having to fight for the wild card. They had no key additions, and their key departure was right winger Michael Frolik. Their keys to success is the Winnipeg Jets were a pleasant surprise last season by making the playoffs, and this season won't be a surprise when the Jets make it back to the playoffs again. They have the players, and they have the right system, so making the playoffs is a must. The Jets stay healthy and keep their focus this season will be a good one for them. And again, they have all the tools. I think trading Evander Kane to Buffalo Sabres last season was a great thing for them because they got good players in for them. It got rid of a distraction that was happening in the fan base. So Winnipeg, they're going the right direction, and I only see them going even more up the hill and making the playoffs as the third seed of the Central Division. Coming in fourth in the division, I foresee the Dallas Stars, who were sixth in the Central Division last season. Key additions for them was left winger Patrick Sharp, defenseman Johnny Oduya, and goalie Antti Niemi, all three of which have won cups with the Chicago Blackhawks, Niemi winning the first one, Patrick Sharp and Johnny Oduya winning all three. Key departures for them are defenseman Trevor Daly, right winger Ryan Garbutt, and center Sean Horkoff. Key success for the Dallas Stars is have the offense, but can their defense and goaltending do the job? The offseason moves, say maybe, and only time will tell. They have Kari Lehtinen and Antti Niemi in net, so they have two number ones, so how will they do that? Will they rotate them equally, or will one take over the number one spot completely and the other one be a backup? So that would be an interesting thing to see. Losing Trevor Daley kind of hurts the team a bit, but by gaining Johnny Oduya, who has won 3 Stanley Cups with Chicago, will help fill that void. Patrick Sharp obviously helps the offense out greatly as well. So only time will tell at Dallas to see where they really do. I mean, I could see them slipping. I could see them being at number 4. So moving on, number 5 in the division will be the Nashville Predators, who were 2nd in the Central Division last season. Their key additions were right winger Cody Hodgson, right winger Steve Moses, and defenseman Barrett Jackman. Their key departures were Victor Stahlberg, defenseman Cody Franzen, and left winger Rich Klune. Their key success is this. Is the skilled defense and world-class goaltending enough for the Predators? One thing that has always eluded Nashville is goal scorers. Can James Neal or Philip Forsberg become that name scorer for them to lead the way? If they can get scoring, Nashville will be a little bit higher up on this list in the Central Division. If they can't get the scoring, they're going to be 5th and they're going to be fighting for a wild card spot. Coming in 6th in the Central Division is the Minnesota Wild, who were 4th in the Central Division last season. They had no key additions. They lost center Kyle Brodziak, right wing Chris Stewart, and goalie Josh Harding. Their key success is this. How well will Minnesota's youngsters develop this season? Their youngsters are developing nicely, but with this season and the pressure that they're going to have on them to get into the playoffs again, how will they develop with that pressure? The Wild will be a very competitive team, but if some of their younger players start taking great strides in their development, don't be surprised if they land higher in the division. And of course, coming in dead last, 7th in the Central Division, is the Colorado Avalanche, who were last in the Central Division last season. Their key additions were center Carl Soderberg, left wing Blake Cameo, defenseman Francois Beauchemin, and center Mikhail Grigorenko. Their key departures were Ryan O'Reilly and right winger Daniel Briere, who retired. Key success for the Colorado Avalanche is this. While the Avalanche did make some good moves to help improve their team, what type of impact will it play on the team? And is it enough? Also, can Semyon Varlamov stay healthy and return to his Vezina finalist form of 2014? It seems that as soon as he starts doing great and great accolades are coming his way, he starts having groin injuries. If Semyon Varlamov is to be the serious number one goalie for the Colorado Avalanche, he needs to get his health in check, because he had this exact same problem when he was with the Washington Capitals. So, to sum up again on the Central Division, I got the Blackhawks coming in 1st, the St. Louis Blues coming in 2nd, Winnipeg Jets 3rd, Dallas Stars 4th, Nashville Predators 5th, Minnesota Wild 6th, and the Colorado Avalanche at 7th. Now, moving on back to the East, to the Metropolitan Division. I have, and it's funny saying this because I'm a Caps fan and I'm going to be doing a lot of Capitals coverage this season on this podcast. Number 1, I have the Columbus Blue Jackets in the Metropolitan Division, who could have easily been the number 2 team in the Metropolitan Division last season if they had stayed healthy, but because of injuries, they only came in 5th place in the Metro Division. Their key additions were left winger Brandon Saad and center Gregory Campbell, both of which are former Stanley Cup champions. And their key departures were center Artem Anisimov, right winger Marco Adano, and center Mark Letestu. The key success for the Columbus Blue Jackets is this. Can they stay healthy this season? If they are, they can be the top team in the Metro Division, let alone the conference. The Blue Jackets have a very talented team who will be a definite force to reckon with as long as they stay healthy. This team on paper, when you look at them, is great. And if they had been healthy last season, and they didn't have all those lost man games that they had, which, by the way, was a fluke because it was a team record for lost man games, every other one before that was 200, and they had 500 something. I consider that a fluke. I think they're all going to be healthy this year, and I see the Columbus Blue Jackets taking the 1st spot in the Metropolitan Division. And coming in second, in my opinion, will be the Washington Capitals, who were second in the Metro Division last season. Their key additions were right winger TJ Oshie and right winger Justin Williams. Key departures for them were Mike Green, Joel Ward, Troy Brower, Eric Fair, and defenseman John Erskine. Keys to success for the Capitals will be the Washington Capitals have a very solid team who could also very well win the Metro Division as well. Staying healthy, having young guys like Tom Wilson, Andrei Burakovsky, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Michael Latta continue to develop will only make the Capitals more dangerous. This is a team where when they made their changes last offseason, when they told George McPhee that they were not bringing him back as general manager, fired Adam Oates, brought in Barry Trotz, and GM Brian McClellan. The first thing Brian McClellan did was bring in Matt Niskanen and Brooks Orpik. Now he has brought in TJ Oshie and Justin Williams. Brian McClellan is making it known he wants this team to win, and he wants this team to win now. And the Capitals are being built to do that now. And with Barry Trotz behind the bench, the Washington Capitals are going to be a force to reckon with this season. Yes, Ovechkin is now 30 years old, but he is still going to get the goals that he scores. But for more on the Washington Capitals and that, I'm going to be doing a Washington Capitals season preview next Saturday on the podcast, so I will go more in depth on the Capitals next week. Coming in third in the Metro Division, I foresee the New York Islanders, who were third in the Metro Division last season. Their key addition was backup goaltender Thomas Greiss. Their key departures were defenseman Griffin Reinhart and goalie Michael Neuwirth. Key success was for them last season. The New York Islanders proved that they are finally the competitive force that the rebuild that Garth Snow had envisioned has finally come to fruition. As long as their young talent continues to develop, the Islanders will be a threat again this season. And with a guy like John Tavares, who is 1 point away from the scoring title, could very well have another season like that where he actually does win the scoring title. This Islanders team, they've been building them slowly, and the move to Brooklyn will also give them a new sense of energy. So the New York Islanders are going to do good things this year, and I see them coming in third. Coming in fourth in the Metro Division, I foresee the New York Rangers, who were first place in the Metro Division last season. Key additions for them were Victor Stahlberg, right winger Emerson Edom, and goalie Antti Raanta. Key departures for them were right winger Martin St. Louis, who retired, and left winger Carl Hagelin, and goalie Cam Talbot. Key success for them is with the rise of the Capitals, Blue Jackets, and Islanders, the Rangers will slide a bit in the standings and will most likely but will remain a playoff contender. How well will the Rangers fare in what is now becoming a stacked Metropolitan Division is the real question to see. Because like I said, Columbus has a really good team if they stay healthy. The Capitals have a really good team if they stay healthy. The New York Islanders have a very good, young, and hungry team. And if they continue to develop, all three of those teams keep developing their young guys, and they keep contributing, this division becomes very, very stacked. And I don't see the Rangers, who really didn't do much in the offseason, major. I could see them sliding back. Coming in fifth in the Metropolitan Division, I see the Pittsburgh Penguins, who were fourth in the Metro Division last season. Their key additions were right winger Phil Kessel, center Nick Bonino, and center Eric Fair. Key departures were defenseman Paul Martin, defenseman Christian Erhoff, center Brandon Sutter, and left wing Blake Camo. Keys to success for the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to have a long season in the stacked Metro Division. While yes, they acquired Phil Kessel, that was also the only really big name move that they made. Their defense is still suspect, especially with the loss of Paul Martin and Christian Erhoff. And if anything happens to Chris Letang again, the Penguins can be in a lot of trouble because Olimata is good, but he's not the face of the defense. It's Chris Letang. And if Chris Letang goes down again to another injury, albeit a concussion, whatever, the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to have a very long season when it comes to their defense. Coming in sixth in the Metro Division, I see the Philadelphia Flyers, who were also sixth in the Metro Division last season. Their key additions were Sam Gagner, goalie Michael Neuwirth, and defenseman Evgeny Medvedev. Key departures for them were defenseman Nicholas Grossman and goalie Ray Emery. and for the Philadelphia Flyers, keys to success are continuing their rebuild, but can be one of the pleasant surprises of the season. Also, how will former college coach Dave Haxtell do in his first season as an NHL head coach? The biggest part of the Flyers' success this season will be largely in how the players respond to him as a coach. Most people are not aware of who he is. It's because he's only been coaching in college. So this will be, and of course all the headlines are, is the Flyers give the old college try. But the Flyers have a good team. They've been rebuilding. Heck, Ed Snyder is buying in the GM Ron Hextall's build within the system rebuild. And it's going to take some time for the Flyers, but honestly, I could see some surprises from the Flyers. I could see them maybe being better than Pittsburgh this season. Coming in 7th in the Metro Division, I see the Carolina Hurricanes, who were last in the Metro Division last season. Key additions for them were James Wisniewski and goalie Eddie Lack. Key departures were right winger Alexander Semin, who they bought out, and goalie Anton Khudobin. Key success for them was, while yes, the Hurricanes are still rebuilding, they will be competitive this season, which they are every season. They won't be past 7th in the division, but you can bet the Hurricanes are going to put up one hell of a fight every game this season. And of course, other questions is what's going to happen with Eric Staal? What's going to happen to Cam Ward? Especially now that they brought in Eddie Lack as a goalie, because Eddie Lack is capable of becoming a number one goaltender. So there's a lot of questions going around those guys. So do you trade him? What do you do? Especially the fact that Eric Staal is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. And coming in 8th in the Metro Division are the New Jersey Devils, who were 7th in the Metro Division last season. Their additions were GM Ray Shiro, right winger Kyle Palmieri, and defenseman John Moore. Their key departures was GM and president Lou Lamoriello and defenseman Bryce Salvador, who retired. Key success? Let's be honest, it's New Jersey Devils. This is going to be an ugly season for them, who are in dire need of a rebuild. Luckily for them, they have a new general manager, which is Ray Shiro, which is great for the organization as it is a fresh set of eyes on the franchise. Also, what impact will the Islanders' move to Brooklyn have on the Devils? Because honestly, more people would probably rather go to Brooklyn than to Newark. Because it's also probably a better area to go to in Brooklyn than it is in New York in general. So those are some of the big things about the Devils. Their defense. They keep saying Andy Green's their top defenseman, man. It's like their defense is like a minor league decent defense. It's like their best defenseman is Adam Larson. I'm sorry, but you guys got a very brutal, brutal team. And they're going to come in last in the division. So, with that said, in the Metropolitan Division, I have the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Washington Capitals, followed by the New York Islanders, then the New York Rangers, 5th is the Pittsburgh Penguins, 6th the Philadelphia Flyers, 7th the Carolina Hurricanes, and 8th the New Jersey Devils. Now, that's my season breakdown for you guys for now. Obviously, next week when we come back, we will be doing the Washington Capitals season preview, where I'll be doing a full in-depth analysis on the Washington Capitals going into the season, being how they don't start until October 10th. It's a great time to do that. I want to thank everyone for coming and listening to the Experience Hockey Talk today. This is Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fan, for me. Because I am a Serious Hockey fan. I say it on here, and you guys are going to know it, that I am a Caps fan, but I love my hockey. And I'm going to be talking about many things. I have segments that are going to be put into future episodes, like news and transactions, final thoughts, which, you know, next week's final thought will be about the 3-on-3 overtime format. Because I want to talk about that a little bit more in depth. I don't want to do that on this episode. So, once again, thank you everyone for listening to this debut podcast of the Experience Hockey Talk. I'm Michael Lindbaum, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Experience Hockey, no at the beginning of experience, so that's X-P-E-R-I-E-N-C-E, Hockey. And like the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And once again, we are brought to you by DerpyCon this week. DerpyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit derpycon.com. And until next time, keep on watching hockey, and until then, let's get ready to have some serious hockey talk.